Morning. First Sunday in Advent. Boy, it's a warm one out there. Nice. Dinner today, following this service, around 12:30, downstairs. Whether you brought anything or not, don't worry about it. Come on down. There'll be plenty of food. We're having ham and beverage and whatever anybody brings. And we're going to do crafts. We got all kind of gifts to give away. We're going to do balloon animals. We're going to do face painting. Fun, fun, fun. So come on down and kick off the Advent season with your church family. Busy week. Thursday, we'll need help at about 1 o'clock here downstairs in the gym. The Salvation Army is delivering 250 bags of groceries to us to give away. And that's coming Thursday. They said about 1:30. So if you're here around 1, would be great. And we're going to load them up and put them on the stage downstairs. And that's on Thursday. And then Friday, we're having cookies delivered for the cookie trays all day. And Ethel will be here during the day. And then Friday night is the cookie tour in Irwin. Starts at 5 o'clock. 5:15, meet at the Presbyterian Church and do the candle walk from the Presbyterian Church to the Lutheran Church to the S&T Park, Bank parking lot. From 6 to 7:30 Friday night, we're going to have open house here in the church. We're also going to get ready for the giveaway. That'll be downstairs. There'll be music up here, music upstairs. A great time Friday night. So please invite your friends and neighbors to come on out. There'll be refreshments. They can tour the church, and they'll take you into every nook and cranny. And then the next day on Saturday, we'll have our giveaway from 9 till noon. We'll need help packing all that up at noon. Sunday, we have the Irwin Male Choir. They'll be here at 7 o'clock. There'll be refreshments after that as well. Whew, yeah. Man, great way to kick off the Christmas season. Please come on out and be a part of it and invite your family and friends, neighbors, bring your kids. We'll have a great time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name and thank you, God, for Christmas. Thank you for this month-long celebration of the birth of Christ. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we pray, God, that what we do here today is pleasing unto you, truly pleasing unto you. And Lord, we pray that it affects our lives in such a way that we are a witness to those around us. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place, into this service. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. Bless this service, Lord. Bless us unto your service. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, I want to begin with a few moments of informality, and that's why I will continue to tell you a little bit about the mission and ministry of the church, follow up to Pastor Bruce's announcements this morning. If you are a visitor, and I know we have a few visitors in the church, and if you would like some specific information about the church, please see one of our ushers or the pastor, or you can get your own packet of information in the narthex. It's hanging from a shepherd's crook. So Brenda, is Brenda here? There she is. She moved up front. Oh, I'll tell you, if I'm not a Methodist, true and true, let me tell you, thinking I was going to make a joke, Brenda was sitting in the back pew. And those of you that know, well, Mrs. Swope has sat in that back pew for, all of 60 years. And I'm making a joke to Brenda, oh, you're in Mrs. Swope's seat. And then I realized what I said, open mouth, insert foot, my goodness, and I tried to apologize, and she's laughing, thank goodness, because here we have a visitor to our church, and I just told her that she was sitting in Mrs. Swope's seat. So I'm looking back there, and Mrs. Swope's in her regular seat. Thank you, Brenda, for not leaving. And like I said, I blame it on being born and raised Methodist, and we like our own pews. So back to seriousness. Please, again, I offer a warm welcome. I would ask that you sign the registration pad that's in the red booklet. That's located in each pew, and once you sign that, please put that back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards. Complete your request on that card, put it in the holder, or just hand it to one of the ushers, and they will make certain to bring that forward for Pastor Bruce. Well, we have a new Bible verse. It's our first Sunday in December, our first Sunday in Advent. That memory verse can be found on the front page of your bulletin, top center. Let's repeat that now twice through. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We do have a few more announcements, and I ask first for Diane Runser to start off some announcements.
First of all, an SOS. I need someone to volunteer to host a coffee hour for the 8:15 service on the 23rd, and that's the first sheet on the clipboard today. Secondly, about the cookies, Pastor Bruce started to talk about that. You may bring your cookies in at any time during the week, those of you who are making them. If you bring them during the day, the church office is only open until 1. The Friday, they're open until noon. But Ethel is going to be here Friday night so that she can be there, I guess, in the afternoon too. Ethel, is that correct? Where did you go? You were here. Oh, there you are. Okay, she's going to be there in the afternoon, but the church will be open for that open house in the evening. The cookies should be taken to the assembly room outside the pastor's office. And the next day, on Sunday, on Sunday that week, you may pick up the cookies that you ordered. If you're making a check, make the check out to the church. If you are bringing cash, it would be really great if you had exact change. Now, if you forgot what you ordered, there's a second sheet on here that you can look at and say, oh, that's what I got, so you know to bring the correct amount. And I believe there will be a few trays left over, so if you did not get a chance to order cookies and you want to order them, feel free to stop by, and Ethel will take care of that. Correct, Ethel? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane. We've had so many announcements, and certainly highlighting how active our church is, not only internally here, but also to our outside community. And one of the busiest committees is our outreach. So this is a reminder from Outreach Committee that the angel tree is up and decorated, and there are still some stars and angels hanging on the tree. The stars are for gift cards to the food stores that will provide a holiday Christmas meal, and the angels are for specific requests for gifts. So please find it in your heart to take a star or an angel from the tree in the narthex. It's immediately out the doors to your right. And also a reminder from Lisa O'Reilly. Lisa is our children's Christmas Eve program coordinator for the 5:30 p.m. service. That's when we do the children's play. This year it'll be a fun production, and they are going to help the Grinch find Christ in Christmas. And Lisa wants to stress that as in past years, there will just be the one rehearsal. That's on Sunday, the 23rd, immediately after our second worship. So Lisa will be here today on our mezzanine level. That's one level down, K through 4, outside the Sunday school doors, if you have any particular questions or if you want to sign up your child for our children's worship. And again, just a final reminder, we are a busy, active, helping church, and the pastor highlighted a lot of announcements and activities going on this week. Diane did, I did. So please double check your bulletin and don't miss out on any of the fun. And now I would ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to God as we begin our worship. I would ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. From Isaiah 40. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Please remain standing for hymn of praise number 211 in your red hymnal.
Family here today, we come together in a celebration of hope. But what do we need hope for?
As we head towards Christmas, we often hope that we can find the perfect gift to give, the perfect outfit to wear, the perfect tree to decorate. But the first Christmas was far from perfect.
The hope of the nations come to us on a night of messy circumstances. The light of the world was born in a stable laid in bed in a feeding trough. And was attended by field hands. There were messy circumstances, and yet it was just right for Jesus Christ, a perfect child surrounded by all the love two parents could give.
This morning, we light the candle of hope as we pray for Christ to come into our hearts again. Please join with me in the response printed in your bulletin. God, help us not to be so focused on finding perfection in this season that we miss out on the hope that only you can bring to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Wherever you go, whatever you do, always remember Jesus loves you. What is special about this day? First day of Advent. And what is Advent? What does Advent mean?
It's counting down the weeks
toward
Jesus'
birthday. Okay, counting down the weeks toward birthday of Jesus. What does the word Advent mean? It means coming. Coming. We are celebrating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. So we celebrate the Advent in three different ways. Get three of you, go stand in the middle of the aisle down there, if you would, please. Any three, that's good. Okay, and then stand down there further. Keep going. Stop. No. Go a little bit further. Okay, right. No. A little bit more. Keep going. Ah, it'll work. That's good. Right there. Okay. So, Advent. We celebrate Advent always in three ways. First, we have the Advent of the Christ child, the wee babe born in the manger. Basically what we call Christmas, all of the festivities and the nativity scene. If one of you come here. So we celebrate Jesus' coming to us in the flesh, Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's one of the things that we celebrate. And then we celebrate, one more, we celebrate the coming of Jesus into our hearts as we learn about Jesus, and we realize that he's the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, and that he was raised from the dead to live forevermore, and that through Jesus we have salvation. So we invite Jesus into our hearts. So that's the coming of Jesus into our hearts, the Advent of Christ. There's another way that we celebrate Advent. And even as we celebrate his birth, his being in our midst, we celebrate the fact that one day Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, nothing will be the same. The whole world will be changed. What we see, the way we live, and everything, it will be changed. And it's going to be very scary for a lot of people. But we celebrate the fact that there is going to be a second coming of Jesus. He is coming back. So that's Advent. And we should have a lot of fun, and we celebrate it in a lot of different ways. But always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. We celebrate the coming of Jesus. Okay, let's pray. And just put your hand on somebody in front of you. That's good. Lord, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord Jesus, we invite you into our hearts right now. come into our hearts and help us to share the good news with our friends and family that Jesus is coming, that he wants to be in their hearts too. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said,
amen.
Amen.
Shout out to Pastor Ron. You might see some new faces in that youth, and kudos to you and Robin for bringing in some new kids and some new faces, Rory and Chris as well. Thank you. Thank you, Diane and Choir, for that beautiful selection. Our word of God this morning is from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14, 15, and 16. Hear now these words, talking about the righteous branch and the covenant with David. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This ends the reading of the Holy Word. I now ask the ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the decorations and this time in our lives, the festive season, and we owe it all to you to show our thanks, Lord, for this great gift of hope that we have at Christmas. We give unto you these tithes and these offerings to support the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the opportunities to witness about Jesus to the community around us, for a place to learn about Jesus. And so, Lord, we give to you out of obedience and out of love. And we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, and please be seated. Joyce, our youth, Tristan, music. You're going to be grandparents. Ooh, how nice. Yeah, it's great. Other joys. Christmas. Pardon? Okay. Indoor plumbing. Thank you, Connie. Family.
Our health.
Our health, such that it is. Got a lot of things to be thankful for. And for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, for our concerns, always USA, FUMC, the lost, those who don't know Jesus, the people on the back of our bulletin, our shut-ins and that, want to pray for them as well. We want to remember our first responders, men and women in the military and their families, people battling addictions. We pray for them all the time, all these folks. Continue to pray for them. Don't quit. We pray for David in Virginia, for Matt and family. We also want to pray for Billy, another Matt, 13-year-old battling cancer. We want to pray for CB, Steve, Carol, and their families. Wah, W-A-U-G-H family, Wah family, whose funeral I'm doing tonight. Our outreach programs. The Bennett family. Connie's family. Pray for the Bush family. Our ex-president. Unspoken, raise your hand. For all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name and thank you for our blessings. Forgive us whenever we take them for granted and give us boldness, Lord, to share our blessings with others, especially those who are in need. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all the names that we have made known here today. Several families, Lord, going through difficult times, people battling cancer, whole countries that need your healing touch, your revival. We need your spirit poured out upon us. Situations, Lord, that seem impossible, but with you, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. It is written. We may break our promises to you, but you never break your promises to us. Thank you, Lord. And so we will always be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 25, Luke 21, verse 25 to 36. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Jesus, and you know, last few weeks, we have heard about the end times. It's where the lectionary has taken us. Today's no different. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout their leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. You know, today we lit the candle of hope. Hope. When is it that we need hope? When things aren't going well. When the world is falling apart around us. When we are suffering. We need hope. Hope that things will get better. Hope that we will be delivered from the trial and tribulation that we're going through. Hope. You remember back in the summertime, there was that group of kids that were trapped in that cave underground, soccer team, Thailand. This article's from there. It says that the divers compared it to mountain climbing, but in tight, pitch-black spaces and buffeted by swirling floodwaters as they towed each child out. They had to guide their way through passages as narrow as a couple of feet, weighed down by bulky equipment. A diver in the front led the way with a boy tethered to him and another diver following behind. Each arduous round trip took between 9 and 11 hours to go in, to get a child, hook them up, tie them to themselves, and two divers would take them back out with enough oxygen to get all the way through all the caverns, the tunnels. 9 to 11 hours. Finally, on Tuesday, the all-star team of expert cave divers from at least 6 countries completed the mission that was once feared impossible, pulling to safety the last of the 12 young kids and their coach. They had been marooned there for 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks. We've rescued everyone, said the former governor of Chiang Rai province and the lead rescue official, as volunteers and journalists erupted in jubilant cheers and claps. We achieved a mission impossible. Those kids and their coach went spelunking, and a rainstorm came along, and they got trapped in those caves. And they continued to go deeper, looking for some place to get above the rising waters. Dark. Alone. But when they heard about people coming to try to rescue them, they had hope. They were without hope, and then they had hope. And imagine how that hope must have felt as the first diver popped his head up out of the water. Oh my, what jubilation that must have felt like. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36, which we just read. Verses 25 and 26, on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Oh, we've seen our seas already roaring and tossing. We've had a lot of typhoons and hurricanes. But the scriptures are saying that it's going to be so bad, it's going to happen in such a way that the nations will be in anguish and perplexity. And it says that people will faint from terror. They'll faint because they are so afraid, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The way we see things now won't be the way we'll see things then. We will be scared to death because we know life is about to come to an end as we know it. People will be fainting from the fear in their lives. We talk all the time about the world coming to an end. Everybody knows that it can't last forever. But we try to explain it away, you know, all the things that are happening around us. We've had worse storms and worse weather, the fires, the earthquakes. Everything's worse now than it's ever been. And there was just in the paper yesterday, the Ebola outbreak in Africa is happening again, possibly worse than it ever happened before. Diseases, with all of our modern inventions. And yet we keep explaining it away. We keep saying, well, it's just because of this, and it's because of that, and if we do this, and if we do that, we just bury our heads in the sand. We don't want to think about our mortality. We don't want to think about eternal damnation. We don't want to think about the world coming to an end as we know it. You know the frog in the kettle? You know that if you put on a pot of water, bring it to a boil, if you throw a frog into the water, what does he do? Jumps right out. But if you put a frog in a pot of cold water and bring it to a boil, what does the frog do? He sits there until he boils to death. And we've become like the frog in the water. We've just been ignoring the signs around us, saying it's just all part of the natural order of things. No big deal. And yet, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus said all this was going to happen, and even worse. That the end is coming. Jesus goes on to say in verses 34 and 35, to be careful or our hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. We are looking to avoid the unavoidable. We are looking to bury our heads in the sand. We are looking to be distracted from our own mortality through drunkenness, carousing, through drugs, epidemic proportions of drugs, through crime and violence, because that's a distraction from what's really going on in life. We'll do anything not to face up to the issues, to ignore the Word of God. We constantly challenge the authority of God's Word, and yet it's all coming to pass, what's been foretold. And Jesus said that we're doing all these things and that the day of judgment will close on us unexpectedly like a trap. People are going to think they're ready, but they won't be. No matter what we do, that day is going to come. And Jesus said in verse 35, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. It's going to happen to everybody. What we need is hope. We need hope that we're going to be able to survive this. You know, how many of you know what campfire is? You know, I used to think campfire was just like a bunch of wood in a fire at a camp. Now it has come to mean California's worst fire ever. That's what they call it, campfire. That fire that has killed 88 people, where a whole bunch more are still missing. This is one of the things that happened out at that campfire. A bus driver, they called him a bus driver from heaven, drove nearly two dozen children to safety as the flames of the deadliest fire in California history closed in. Kevin McKay, 41 years of age, he'd only been driving a school bus for Ponderosa Elementary School in the Northern California town of Paradise for a few months. When the campfire, the forest fire, raised its head November 8th, scorching nearly an acre of ground per second. You wouldn't think a fire could move that fast. But an area as big as or bigger than this whole sanctuary burned in a second. Fire leaping from treetop to treetop, racing across the ground. While many of the children had already been picked up by family members, nearly two dozen kids were still stranded at the school as flames approached. So McKay and two teachers, Abby Davis and Mary Ludwig, put the kids into the school bus and took off. It was very scary. It felt like Armageddon, Ludwig, who teaches second grade, said. As they drove off on hellish roads full of thick smoke, they soon became stuck in gridlock and wondered if they should abandon the bus. There was a traffic jam on the highway where the flames came rushing in. And they said, they showed pictures. Car after car just burned to smithereens. People were killed in those cars. And here they were stuck in the traffic with a busload of kids. They wondered what to do. Some of the kids seemed to be inhaling too much smoke, causing them to doze off. So McKay ripped up his shirt, doused the strips of cloth in water, and gave them to the kids so they could hold them over their noses and mouths and breathe. That seemed to help. And along the way, they picked up a preschool teacher from a nearby elementary school whose car had broken down. The children felt that there was hope because of this bus driver and his fellow teachers. That was their hope. And they were able to get that bus out of the traffic. And hours later, it says, the children were reunited with their families. They survived. And the kids had hope because of that bus driver. We are all going through some kind of hell. We're all struggling with issues. Aches and pains, finances, relationships, work, fear, loneliness, anxiety, depression, abuse, addictions. You know, the end of the world is coming, there's no doubt. But we all live in our own end times, and we all struggle with things. And we are here to say today to the people who are struggling, there's hope. There is hope for you in the midst of your pain and suffering. Hope that you can get through it. Hope that you'll be okay. You will be delivered if you have hope. Hope that we call Jesus the Christ, the living Son of the living God, whose birthday we celebrate at Christmas, whose coming into our hearts we celebrate, whose second coming one day we look forward to. Because when this world is over, we're going to have a far better place to go to. You see, this world is not our home. But we're all suffering. We're all battling. And we need to spread the good news that there is hope for people. In Romans chapter 7, Paul said that he suffered a lot. He said, I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. The wrong thing I know that I shouldn't do, that's what I do. He said, there's a war going on inside of me. It's tearing me up. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And then he goes on to say in Romans 7, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We celebrate because we have hope. And I'm willing to bet that you know some people that are in your family or neighbors or coworkers who are struggling, and they need to hear hope is alive. Hope is there for them if they'll only believe. That would be a wonderful gift to give somebody. Hope. God loves you, and so do I. We've had some extraordinary things happen in our world recently. Stories of rescues and unimaginable pain and suffering. and hope. Please turn in your hymnals to page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God on power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke that bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this bread of life. We pray that you would bless it, Lord, that it would be for us the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this cup of life. This cup of the new covenant that takes away our sins. Bless it that it would be for us the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Ushers, please. are receiving right now is much more than just bread. It is hope. What you're receiving right now is the light of the world. It's the hope that you need in the middle of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Perhaps it's a message that your neighbor should hear, co-worker, some family member, a classmate. Maybe they need to hear about Jesus, the hope of the world. His body given for us. Hold it up. Take and eat. Christmas gift that might be the right one. You don't know if it's the exact color that they want, but it's close enough. You don't know if you're getting enough or, you know, but you do the best you can. Well, this gift that we celebrate, this blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, his body and blood, Jesus himself is the perfect gift. None better. None ever will be better. It is so much more than just salvation. It is power for living. Peace that passes all understanding. Hope in the midst of our struggles. And it is available to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do have gluten-free up here. If anybody needs gluten-free, don't want you to take regular bread if that's a problem. We are out. That's a good problem to have, but it's one that we don't have a solution for at the moment. How many more do we need? Huh? Okay, listen. Hold on, folks. Michael, go down to my office, and underneath the mirror, there's a box with disposable. How many do you have up there? Okay, if it's not enough, there's disposable communion in my office underneath that mirror in a box. Just. Whether it's given smoothly, roughly, doesn't really matter, does it? Because it's still been given. Hold it up. His blood shed for us. Take and drink. We've been given the great gift of hope, and that's what we just celebrated. We ran out, but we had the hope that we'd get more. No matter what you're going through, give it to Jesus. Because you always have that hope that God will make it okay. He stopped the storm. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He multiplied the fish and the loaves. We have hope. Let's stand and sing. Ooh. Well, we have a few things going on. All the rest of this week, you can still bring stuff in for the giveaway, which will be Saturday morning. So you can bring that in. You can bring it in Saturday morning if you need to, but we will be putting up things for the giveaway at 5:30 on Friday. We need as many hands on board as possible for that and for the open house. So please come on out and join us. We have coffee hour. If you've got someplace to go and you can't stay for dinner, we'd invite you to step across the narthex into our parlor and have some refreshments. That's set up for you. Come on downstairs, and we will have our Christmas dinner and a lot of fun. You are all invited. Well, Lord, we celebrate a lot of things. We look for the perfect gift, but there is no better gift, no more perfect gift given than your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our hope no matter what we're going through. Give us the boldness to share this message with those who are hurting, those who are struggling. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.